persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free.
The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lat House and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
I had to take a short trip to visit a dear, lifelong friend in Kansas who lost his precious wife suddenly to an aneurysm while they were talking with one another over the phone. Anyway, I was unable to post my show on Friday in time for the radio broadcast, but decided to go ahead and post for the podcast audience. So from 32,000 feet, I'm doing the best I can to put the show together for you. Cruz announced Carly as his VP pick. Bible thump alert, Bible thump alert. Isaiah 3 verse 12. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. End quote. That's too bad. It doesn't dissuade me from supporting Cruz. God has had his Deborahs, his Goldas, and his Thatchers. It's just a little hard for me to see Carly in that company. Aha! So you are one of those chauvinist pigs. I knew it. As the kids would say, LOL. Well, actually, the term chauvinism applies much better to Trump supporters. All right, let's look at this word, and you'll see why it applies better to Trump supporters. Originally, the word came from a fictional character in a post-Bonaparte vaudeville play called La Cocarde Tricolore. My French is wanting. Anyways, this guy's name was Nicholas Chauvin. That's it. With a very soft ending on the end. Chauvin was a popular name in that period, a derivative of Calvin, I understand, as in the theologian John Calvin. Anyway, the cocarde tricolore was the red, blue, and white cloth badge or patch that was worn by French revolutionaries. And in this vaudeville play, Chauvin was depicted making grotesque and threatening displays of his attachment to Napoleon I, in 1815. He became a caricature representing the excessive devotion Napoleon inspired in some of his followers, blind and absurd to the point of obsession, and over time, it came to be used for vainglorious or exaggerated patriotism. Webster explains it refers to someone who is wildly extravagant, fretful, silly, and childish in his devotion, so that if someone expressed even the slightest doubt concerning their hero, they resented as an insult. It was not until much later that the word came to be used broadly for anyone, quote, displaying excessive or prejudiced loyalty or support for a particular cause, group, or gender, end quote. And then, only during the bra-burning 60s did it come to be used almost exclusively for someone that holds to the stereotypical male and female roles of traditional American culture, which, incidentally, are reflective of biblical ideas of these roles. Pay close attention here, my dear friends. The word depicts exaggerated, outlandish, silly, absurd, obsessive devotion to a cause, or to a gender, or to some personality. In other words, as Webster points out, quote, to have a generous belief in the greatness of one's country is not chauvinism, end quote. Nor would it be chauvinism to have a faith-based commitment to biblical definitions of male and female distinctions. However, a wild, exaggerated, silly, and childish commitment to a cause, you know, like the bra-burning chicks of the 60s and today's radical homosexual marriage-promoting or gender-blurring or race-baiting sharp tongues and so on. Not that there are not differences between these groups, but including those, by the way, who would go wild in anger and rage against someone who holds traditional views on these things. Oh, yeah. Now, that's the sort of thing the word chauvinism was created to describe. Someone who calls himself or herself a conservative, but blindly follows Trump, even though he is clearly not a conservative. That rightly couldn't be called necessarily chauvinism either. But those whose eyes bulge and veins swell and forehead reddens, jowls throb, teeth grind and fists clench and screech threats against anyone who criticizes Donnie. Yep, chauvin is me. Chauvin, how do you say that in French? What's with these characters? Do they think he's going to give them some of his money? I think some have actually put their fist into their car radios while listening to my show. These are chauvinists. It's clearly not because they are that passionate about national health care. Surely not. Now, maybe they're rooting for him to use eminent domain to take away the puppetee of the aristos and give it to les people, or whatever. I certainly hope the GOP does not allow this phony to steal the nomination from the conservatives in the party. I'll discuss the importance of the GOP rules in the second segment. And I really think that Cruz should have just gone ahead and answered Hannity's question on this. But I understand he just wants to keep the focus on real issues, and it's hard to do in this process right now. Laura Ingraham thinks we are being foolish to keep pointing out that Trump is not a conservative. Get a load of this. Are you ready for the reason? Here it is. It's because, hey, so many conservatives obviously don't think that because they're voting for him. There you go. Not because his policies are conservative, but because conservatives are voting for him. Isn't that insightful? What a brilliant and insightful analysis of what's going on with Trump. I mean, I think Laura's confusing conservatives with Republicans. Wow, is she ever behind the curve on that one? She does not know that the conservatives in the party reject him? Oh, you say the establishment rhinos reject him too? Well, then, now, there you go. Once again, overwhelmed by such depth of insight. I mean, hey, if the rhinos reject him, then he must be conservative. Unbelievable. You're serious? Oh, my. Look, the enemy of your enemy could still be your enemy. It's possible for Group A to oppose a candidate and Group B to oppose the same candidate without making Group A friends of Group B. You follow that, okay? Look, Russia can work to destroy America, and China can work to destroy America, but at the same time, they can work to destroy each other. But Laura thinks that if Republicans in liberal states like Maryland vote for Trump, well, that shows conservatives like Trump? You've got to be kidding me. It's like the thing where we define someone by who hates them, you know? In other words, all the right people hate Trump, so that means I don't need to bother looking at his record or his statements and so forth. And I've done this too, by the way, all right? Don't get me wrong here. Oh, sure. Yeah, I pointed out that all the right people oppose this or that person or policy. And to a point, there is some validity in that observation, I think. I mean, I do think it means something that Trump has said he is friends with Hillary and with Bill. Okay. So now, if there is a difference, it's that I would never let that be the controlling criterion. I mean, it might be a supporting observation, but I would never do what Laura has done here and say Trump must be conservative. Because, you know, hey, evidently a lot of conservatives think so. Well, Laura Sharp, I can't believe she... You know, here's what I think is happening there. She actually does not have a problem with Trump's views. I mean, not particularly. She's so focused on beating Hillary, that's all she can think about. And the problem is she's getting fooled because Trump's going to lose to Hillary. All the polls say so. Trump would be a totally acceptable alternative to Hillary to these people. And that's why they support him blind to his policies. The policies that disturb me evidently don't disturb people like Laura, and don't disturb some others either. And I'm talking about solid concerns. National health care, abuse of eminent domain. What's with the two-faced doublespeak on Israel coming from Trump lately? I thought you guys despised that sort of political doublespeak, that sort of political shuffle. Man, it's weird. There's definitely a spiritual component to this, something I'll get to in a bit. But Trump recently called a private public-type meeting in which he came out strong in support of Israel, something we've not heard from him. But he has consistently talked about neutrality right along. So much so, some have expressed concern he's just another Obama when it comes to Israel. So now he comes out with a speech saying all the things we are accustomed to hear from leaders who unequivocally support Israel. You know, as our only real ally in the region, the only really free republic in the Middle East. And so which Trump do we trust? You know, Trump is the GOP version of Obama. You have in Trump every single one of the traits of insider establishment, waffling, crawfishing, weaselly politicians that we all despise, along with some very un-Republican policy positions, by the way, all the way over to liberal policies like national health care. But he does not sound like an establishment politician. You understand? Cruz, on the other hand, has every one of the characteristics and policies we identify as anti-establishment and pro-Constitution, but he sounds like an establishment politician. Okay? That's what's going on here. But all the right people hate Trump, right? There it is. Proof positive he's one of us. The same people what hate Trump hate us. So that makes Trump one of us? Well, why won't these characters, and I mean Laura and Hannity, look at his record and pay attention to what he is saying? A child is known by his doings, and a heart is revealed by the words that come from it. And that's just straight out of the Bible, folks. Listen and watch. Trump is negotiating a deal, and the hand he's playing right now is carefully constructed to win the Republican nomination. That's his focus. But just like Obama, and listen, Trump is the GOP version of Obama. People are emotionally dedicated to him for what he represents to them, not for what he actually believes. And if his supporters are actually so committed to his approach to the illegal immigration issue, so they're willing to overlook his obviously liberal policies in other areas, then I got to tell you, this problem on the illegal immigration thing has gotten worse than I ever thought it was. I knew it was bad, but good night. Give me a break. We really have descended into a kind of rabid racist mentality if we're just so focused on that, we're not even looking at the rest of the picture here. Cruz has all the same answers to the problem, only he does not take the angry tone Donnie does. And that tells me Trump supporters are about his anger. See? They identify with him because of the anger he displays toward the issues that bother them. And they want to join him and punish those people rather than simply deal with the problem with a cool head like Cruz would do. But Trump is sending out subtle signals that he will pivot after the nomination. I mean, he's already signaling a back away from the pro-life plank in the GOP platform, which doesn't surprise me at all. He's signaling a libertarian view on social issues, you know, with this bathroom deal. So keep in mind, if you're visiting the Trump Nimrod Towers that F. Brucey is walking about, your wife might prefer to go elsewhere. So he's not particularly friendly with us on the homosexual agenda issues. Folks, he's planting his foot in preparation for the pivot you're going to see him make if he does succeed at stealing the Republican nomination from what might be our last best opportunity to get a constitutional conservative in the White House. So Boehner comes out and calls Cruz Lucifer in the flesh. And he says he will only get the nomination, quote, over his dead body, end quote, over my dead body, end quote. And Boehner's about as inside establishment as they come and has been known to prematurely spill the beans on insider sentiment before. Actually, it reveals what I've been saying all along. Folks, the one they really fear is Cruz. I think this whole thing has been a ruse to stop Cruz. And finally, if that is true, it is one of the most masterful political ploys played out of the century. But God is greater than all of this. And at the end of the day, we know, quote, he gives the kingdom to whomsoever he wills and according to his pleasure. Now, that doesn't mean whoever gets the job ought to have it, or that whoever gets the job is the one God would desire to have it. Hosea 8:4 makes that clear in Deuteronomy 17:15-17. No, but it does mean this. God's going to search the hearts of his own people, and if they humble themselves and pray and seek his face and turn from their wicked ways, then he will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land and deliver them from the oppressor. Now, I've got to close the first segment. I don't know of one poll that has Trump winning against Hillary. And I'm not sure that Trump actually cares. Listen, I can see it now. Trump gets the nomination, Hillary wins, and Trump says something like, you know, I think Hillary will make a fine president. We ought to all just get behind her and support her. Then maybe he'll joke that, you know, I like to win and it was a good race, but really, I've always liked Hillary and Bill. Wait till you get that slap in the face. And if he wins, and if he does win, I think secretly that'll be fine with the establishment Republicans as well. The gopers will breathe a sigh of relief. They don't want to deal with Cruz, man. They'd much rather deal with the guy to whom they already owe so much, understand? And with whom they have already been in bed for years. For example, Boehner will vote for Trump. Of course he would, but never Cruz. He said he and Trump play golf together, you know? And no doubt, Boehner took a lot of money from Trump too, I'll bet. So you know how it is. Play some golf, you know, enjoy the greens. And then Trump slides some green of another kind across the politician's palm. And it's all very nice, you know? It's all very friendly. It's very nice, as Trump would say. I get along with everybody. Hold on through the break, my dear friends. I'll be right back.
Encounter God. The word encounter means to meet, to experience, to come face to face, to confront. Many encounters are routine happenstances, but even these can have a major impact on our lives. I'm sure each of you listening to this can think of encounters that made a difference in your life. But the greatest life-changing encounter in any life will be those encounters with God that make a difference. Perhaps you've encountered God in the past, but it's been a while since you experienced God in a vital, meaningful encounter. Renew your experience of God with a fresh encounter this year that will impact your life for spiritual growth. Perhaps you've never experienced God, and he doesn't seem real to you. You can encounter God, and when you do, your life will take on new meaning and purpose, and you'll know that God is real. Lighthouse Baptist Church, 1310 West Bedarabia Road, Santa Maria.
The Brain Massage Show releases truth antibodies in the brain that attack and destroy liberal lies.
Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. I've been saying right along that Trump is an insider. He's everything his supporters have declared they hate in politics today. His core values are liberal. And by the way, at this point, it's really not about trying to convert Trump supporters. Really, I'm just going on record here. And folks, I draw some criticism for not speaking to Cruz's negatives, and I think there is some merit to that criticism. But it's not because I don't believe there are any. It's just that right now, all my firepower is directed at doing what I can do to wake people up and get them to see Trump before it's too late. And we missed the best and perhaps the last opportunity we'll ever have to get a constitutional conservative in the White House because, for whatever Cruz's faults might be, he is a constitutional conservative. Cruz's pick is, I think, sad evidence that his worldview, in my view, in many ways, has been instructed by the Word of God, but has been influenced by the world in which he's immersed, and all of us have got some of that going on. So I think picking Carly is not a winning move for conservatives, but that is not because she is a woman. As I mentioned in the first segment, God has used women in important roles in the Bible. Deborah is the most well-known example, and we've seen some very capable women politicians, such as Golda Meir and Margaret Thatcher. I do believe it is evidence of judgment, however, when women rule over us, and that, in general, it's a very bad idea, for reasons I've addressed very thoroughly in earlier shows. Now, I don't believe the office of the president is the right role for a woman, although I can think of many women who would make a far better president than the one we have in the White House right now. Har har. You ever seen how that guy rides a bike, anyway? I don't think trench warfare is the place for women. For example, I don't think it fits with the whole women and children first value that grows out of natural reason, not to mention biblical worldview. It is instinctive for women to protect their young and support their men, and it is instinctive in men to protect their women and children. But actually, that is a different discussion. But I do wonder if Obama's girls will ever be drafted into military service or see frontline action. You know what I mean? I could see them in a trench, right? Okay. But back to the main point. The reason Carly's a bad pick is that she is a weak candidate, in my view. I guess she could be a counterpoint to Hillary, and probably that's the idea. But I fear Hillary's going to drag her into a catfight, and then she'll just become a big distraction from real issues again, the issues that really need to be addressed. You know the media is going to headline it Carly versus Hillary, and Cruz will once again be in a position of laboring in the background of meaningless drama, trying to get his message front and center stage. Maybe I'm wrong. I do get the concern. The Cruz team doesn't want the media to spin the upcoming contest as a, you know, men versus woman thing, and cast Hillary as a victim being ganged up by a couple of men. But it's simple enough to steer clear of that, really. Just simply focus like a laser beam on the issues that contrast conservatives and liberals. Really, the election, and Cruz knows this, and he's trying hard to make it, a referendum on whether America wants socialism or conservatism. But now, to all my Christian conservative listeners who are disappointed that Cruz chose Carly for VP, the fact is, when a nation loses heaven's favored nation status, God turns it over to the oppression of tyrants. One of the evidences that a culture is moving away from God's order is when women begin taking positions of rule over the land. Isaiah 3:2 is very clear on this. Likewise, 1 Corinthians 11:1-4 is all very clear on this. God is the head of Christ, Christ the head of man the head of woman. Now, I know most people in America reject that these days. I get it. I am keenly aware that the gender distinctions ordained by our Creator, evidenced in creation, and defined in the Bible by the Creator, are rejected by most Americans today, and look where it has led us, to a total blurring of gender distinctions. And by the way, this is the mindset of most who call themselves Christians today also. The stereotypical gender roles reflected in the family order of, say, the 50s is ridiculed, scoffed, and even resented as oppressive, when the exact opposite is what is true. Our God-denying culture is purposely generating ever-increasing pressure against the natural order, pressing men and women into roles for which they were not designed by the Creator, breaking down the natural infrastructure that God set in place to support a social order that would protect and provide for family, for church, and for government, as a matter of fact. In short, the divinely appointed institutions designed to cultivate and protect a social order that encourages and protects the rearing of children, and that's what it's all about at the end of the day here, in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, the Creator. That's the way God set it up. And the farther our society moves away from the divinely ordained model, the more you see children reared without the benefit of both mother and father, causing all kinds of distortions and just messes them up. You know, it makes children angry, socially alienated, vulnerable to being manipulated into the service of those who want to enslave humanity is really what it comes down to. You know, becoming slaves to the Nimrods and their towers. I think Cruz could have picked a better running mate. Cardi was here in California trying to unseat Boxer when Boxer was most vulnerable, and Cardi lost handily. And I think it's because she did not present a sufficiently clear message of distinction from Boxer. Now, it seemed to me she tried to sell herself as Boxer Light, or as a GOP alternative to Boxer that she hoped would sell because people were so angry at Democrats then. Well, once again, the gopers in California tried to get the conservative Republicans in California to go along with their conviction that the only way to win in California is to be a donkey with an elephant's nose. But a good many of us said no. We are conservatives first and Republicans second. Now quit trying to pin an elephant's tail on the donkey. Now, I see things shaping a little differently in California right now, and I'm glad to see it. Anyway, now to the accusation that Cruz is trying to steal the nomination with the GOP rulebook. The system of electing delegates to choose a nominee is a good system. In fact, more than once, it has protected the party from ending up with a demagogue candidate like we've got running right now in Trump. Abraham Lincoln was nominated, and I think it was the third round of votes. He did not win sufficient delegates in the process to win, and in fact, his opponent had more delegates going into the convention. And there are some other examples. Now, folks, the rule is this. If you don't get 50% plus one of the delegates, you don't win the nomination. And in that case, it goes to what is called the second ballot. And this continues until some candidate receives 50% plus one. And that rule is a good one, especially in the case before us in this primary. Think about how unfair it would be for Trump to get the nomination only because he had the most delegates going into the convention. Does that sound counterintuitive? Now listen. First, at the start of the primary, my friends, there were at least five other candidates dividing up the conservative vote. And Trump consistently only received 30 to 35% of the GOP vote. And that included a large number of crossover Dems, many of whom we know were liberal in their political persuasion, not conservative. So listen, there is a legitimate question whether Trump would have won so many delegates as he did if it had been between only two or maybe even three candidates. In other words, many, and it seems likely most, of those who voted for Rubio or Carson or Carly, or this one or that one and so on, would very likely have cast their vote for Cruz. Well, then those voters will be totally disenfranchised. Their vote was virtually wasted. But these rules, you see, allow a possible correction for this kind of problem. Second, consider how unfair it would be to the candidates if the GOP changed the rules after they have spent so much time, energy, and money campaigning within the present rules. Now, we know in truth that the GOP actually does have the right to change the rules if the party chooses to do that. Now, these parties, again, are not branches of the government. Anyway, it would be very difficult to change the rules since any rules changed that would hurt either Trump or Cruz would not likely pass because the rules committee is chosen from the delegates that are sent to the convention. And each one has enough support to stop any rules change they don't like. Even so, a rules change that would decidedly favor one or another of the candidates, either one, would be considered foul play for sure, and would create even more havoc than we already have. In other words, in order to give the nomination to Trump simply because he has the most delegates going in, you'd have to change the rules to do that. Finally, and actually this is the most important of all the reasons not to tamper with the rules or with the delegate system, and it's the rationale coming from the Trump side for doing so. You see, the rule is that the candidate must get 50% plus one of the delegates through the nominating process. But Trump's supporters want to change it to whoever goes to the convention with the most delegates wins. Now, I've mentioned the problem this creates, especially in the current environment. However, listen to Trump howl about it not being democratic. The prevailing sense out there seems to be that we are a democracy. But we are not, and there are good reasons that we are not. America is a representative republic. We are a nation governed by laws and not by men. You might say we're governed by rules, okay? Men are appointed to positions of power according to our laws, and they are then appointed to govern according to our laws, something Obama seems to have forgotten. The reason we want government by laws and not by men is that public sentiment can be swayed to surge in a very bad direction at times before there's a correction, a la Germany under the Third Reich. Majority rule was despised by our founders, and we should want a check on majority rule in the same way we want a check and a balance on the executive, the legislative, and the judicial branches, right? You ever hear about checks and balances? We want checks and balances. We don't want any branch of government to take over the whole government. We want checks and balances. Now, some of you say you have heard all your life that the majority wins and the majority rules. Well, whoever's telling you that has been telling you a lie. We are a government organized around a system of checks and balances, and included is a check against mob rule. You might remember that one. You know, checks and balances, checks and balances. Anyone remember that expression? Well, what about a check on majority rule? Just because the majority believes you ought not to have a right to free speech, that right is inalienable, and we should have it protected against such an event as the majority deciding we don't have it. Remember the Salem witch trials? That was a case where the majority went crazy. It took some preachers to come down into town and straighten all that mess up. That's right, by the way, I think it was a Congregationalist pastor who was called in to reason with the crowd and get that nonsense stopped. But mobs that gather and take someone suspected of a crime and hang them, well, that's not how we do things here. But that's where you are headed. We don't want any group to have enough power to trample down the rights of any minority group. It would be unfair for the GOP to change the rules now. It would be unfair to the candidates who have labored and spent time, energy, money, and laid out their strategy within the rules that were in place when they entered the race. It would be unfair to the millions of voters who will have wasted their vote on Carly, Rubio, Carson, and several others too. It all adds up. It would be unfair to the conservatives in the party who see Trump, as they ought to see him, a pretender. Who believe him when he says he is liberal when it comes to health care? Who believed him when he said he thought the economy does better under Democrats? Who believed him when he said he thinks the government should take over private business at times? Listen, it would be unfair to the conservatives who make up roughly 60% of the party to lose the nomination to a candidate who only appeals to about one-third of the party. Sometimes issues are not so clear as this one is, but this one is very, very clear. There is no way a rules change that allows Trump to take the nomination with the delegates that he was able to put together only because certain rules allowed it to happen. You know, rules like once a member of the party has voted, if their candidate later falls out of the race, they cannot reassign their vote. Now, that's a rule that greatly favored Trump, by the way. So how about we change that rule? In truth, that would be the most fair thing to do, if it were practical. To redo all the primaries now with only Trump and Cruz on the ticket. And let's see who wins the most delegates then. After all I've seen, I think it would be a lot closer than I would have thought when all this began, I must say. I'm being taken to school here along with many of my friends. I had no clue that guys like Hannity and ladies like Laura Ingraham would close their eyes to the obvious liberal inclinations in Trump and not get 100% behind Cruz like the great one did, Levin. And I understand. I know the wrath of the Trumpsters. Believe me, I'm feeling it. They are vicious and vindictive, and they will make you pay for talking bad about their little boy. All Trump has to do is pout a little, and all these Trumpsters rally around him like the chauvinists that they are. Some of these characters would be perfect casting choices for the replay of Cocarde Tricolor in the role of Chauvin. I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch, and now you let me know you see that they are on. When you call 1-888-770-8000 and you agree with what I'm saying, say lights on. If you disagree, you can say lights off. One person asked me, can I say the lights are blinking? That's fine, too. Of those of you who prefer it, you can email me by going to our website, thebrainmassageshow.com. That's thebrainmassageshow.com. God bless you. God save America. And I'll see you in church.
Pastor Scheidbach is Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lanterns in the church belfry arch, signaling the enemy is on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberty. Keep the lights burning. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make a donation today, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457.
Tune in Saturday at 12 noon